I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, T-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's MerchMonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Hello and welcome to episode 55 of the Premier View podcast. On this week's show, we preview the divisional finals in the North, West and Mid divisions. Mike chats to North PRO Michael Quinn about the upcoming North and Intermediate hurling finals, while Sean chats to Mid PRO Morgan Lanigan ahead of the Mid finals. We also have an excellent set of interviews from Stevie O'Donnell, who chats to players from the teams who will contest the West Senior Hurling, Senior Football and Intermediate finals. We will not, however, be chatting about the upcoming All-Ireland hurling final, as Sean and Mike were too busy swamping points this week, and to be honest, we really don't care who wins. First up, Sean and Morgan Lanigan.
I'm joined here by Morgan Lanigan now this evening, Mid Tipperary PRO. How are you doing, Morgan?
How's it going, Sean? You well?
Good now. Big weekend ahead now, brand divisional finals weekend coming up. So in the mid, we've Lochmore. I play my own third of Arsenal on Sunday there at 12:30 in Holy Cross. Were you at the two semi-finals there the weekend, Morgan?
I did, yeah. We managed to find the time to tweet this weekend. That was way last weekend, so I didn't get a whole lot in. But to see the two games and to see the standard and the heat of the competition was a joy to behold. I think the calendar, while it is very compact, having the divisional championships at such a key time of the year has definitely benefited the mid-division anyway. I can definitely vouch for, I'm sure it probably replicates across the county in the other three divisions, that clubs aren't just looking at these as a fixture. It's vital to their preparation and for the club building towards what will be a very fast-paced county championship. And I know the two semi-finals were closely contested for the majority of the 60 minutes of play in both sides.
Well, for sure, there were the scoreline in the end in all the games didn't do just, but they're all competitive games so far in the mid, and even seeing the passion of players and supporters on both sides, it kind of goes to show that love is still there for sure.
Yeah, look, whatever way they end up doing it, and there was a big uproar, and rightly so, from clubs to retain the divisional link. And we'll put it to this, if there wasn't a division link, I don't, actually, regardless, I'd say, if there wasn't a division link this year in it, to just the timing of it, that clubs were putting their best foot forward. They weren't thrown out. You know, we have a county championship match next week, and we're through here or whatever, you know, these different scenarios that we'll say go back to the 2018 final of the mids title. Sure, that was played at the latter end of the year, and you had saying, oh, this is an intermediate team or whatever, you know. And while there was excellent fare given up in 2018 when the two teams met, going to a replay and just a puck of a ball between them, I think next Sunday's match is going to offer a lot more in terms of where both clubs want to be moving forward. And there'll be the top 15 will be out on that field on Sunday, barring extreme cases, which could possibly affect a lot more, I know, in particular.
Exactly, yeah. And like, there are two teams that know each other from over the years as well, that's for sure. And Thurles Arses kind of pulled away in the end against Upper Church. Upper Church gave them plenty of until late goals from Dennis Maher. Upper Church gave it all, only about the last 5 or 10 minutes. And similar in the McCarthy game, Loughmore had to dig deep, like Loughmore always do, and pulled away as well.
Yeah, the Upper Church drum band game, I was right down the stand side, just under the uncovered, and the ball came down the wing right from the throw-in, was hit across. Along the ground came the ball, and there's no point in naming the player. He went to pull on it and mishit it. And, you know, the differences in such a moment, in that ball not going to the back of net, which every Upper Church fan would have been praying for, like moments later, the ball, Dennis bulldozes through with his strength and his pure want for goals, and batters the ball into the back of the net. You know, there's a 6-point swing, and it took Upper Church drum band a good while to come back into it, but did it. Subs came on, Keith Ryan and the likes of that. No, Luke Shannon had a pint as well, a young fella, and that helped them to come back within two with minutes to play. But be God, I did note, there was no medals for it, but I had flagged the final quarter showing the Sarsfield seemed to have perfected is the right word. It could be just a bit of coincidence as well. They blew Holy Cross away, and my God, the last few minutes, you had Dennis get a goal, Dara Stakelam hit the crossbar, Paddy Creedon profited, and Dara, as what happened when you're on the front foot, he had his shot, the ball came back off the Upper Church man straight into the paw, and he wasn't missing the second time round to cap a great performance for Dara Stakelam, but blew Upper Church out of the water. And you know, it's getting goals will be vital here for either team. You know, that was that match. Then we got the Spuds and headed over to Temple Moor.
Good.
They were a quick spud anyway. They reheated, but it started out. McCarthy Boroughs played with the wind down into the town end. And while they had a good first 20 or so minutes, they had a 3 or 4 point lead. Loughmore Castellini settled in and taken freeze, and, you know, against the wind, it was a strong enough wind. They were very reliant on John McGrath and even John Marden as well, hurling a lot of ball. And he had that power and physical ability to hit that full forward line, even from deep in his own half, which, you know, it was a big asset. So when they went in to the second half, you were kind of saying, this is well within Loughmore's grasp if they can, you know, keep the pressure on. But I'd have to say that two things of note, three things for McCarthy Boroughs. There was a score that they got. Tom Ryan in full back caught it. He lost his hurl, came out, passed the ball on. There was a three or four man move. And the ball ended up over the bar at the far end. I think it was Kiwi Morris that ended up getting the pint. And it was a brilliant score, real team score. And something that I thought that was, you know, it showed they held their nerve to get that. And that kept them going. The next thing that had the pint is the is to the distribution and all-round play of Reece Shelley in the goals. Like, his ability with the ball on the run, in motion and in open play, like, when he's about to hit the ball, you're going, oh my God, don't. You know where, you see where he's going, you're thinking, that's not on. No, it is a training kind of pass that you try and go for. He put him right in there in the catching. The man didn't have to reach, didn't have to use his hurl into the hand. And a couple of scores, like, he's launching attacks like a quarterback. And he made two great saves as well that kept Lochmore at bay. And so as the game went on, Kieran Morris there, the captain, he caught five balls in the air, well, four anyway, of note, and straight from the puck outs, like coming down to the 45. And they were exceptional. I've noted in my notes there that'll be going around in the Facebooks and whatnot. It was definitely of the weekend. He was the best man fielding the ball across the four teams. And it definitely gave his team a launch pad to stay in it. The Lochmore then, though, like John McGrath, the scores that he took, they were a pint down with about 5 minutes to go. And John McGrath just hit three pints. One turn swivel on the sideline, 21. Others just calm, relaxed, like a lad, you know, up at a pear tree, just smiling at, keeping it nice and loose. And quite elusive, but maybe a pint towards the next day. Too far out from goals to cause a goal threat. But he was needed there with the absence of Noel McGrath.
Yeah.
But he scores. John Mayer got a bomb of an effort, as did Brian. And there was the difference that put Lochmore ahead. He only went ahead with it a few minutes to go and held out in that semi-final. A true test off the cap to McCarthy Burris. Another step forward. But Lochmore will look to... They'll be glad they got over the line, but you'd wonder with their performance and near a goal got, you know, who'll be looking forward to it going to the next day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like I said there, McCarthy got over Drummond, ran Lochmore very close, and that's great prep for them going into the championship, like, you know, for sure. Did you feel the Lochmore had to dig deep in the end? And like, I was following on Twitter now and there's no score for a good while. McCarthy won up, and as you said there, they rattled over the late points like Lochmore do. Do you feel that if Sarsfield kind of get ahead, would they get that kind of chance? Or how would you feel it?
I think myself, I was looking back as I do, just to try and look back over the previous results. And the last 20 years, they've met each other seven times. And over the course of that, Lochmore have actually gotten more goals, 16 of them in the seven games, while Sarsfield have gotten 14. But we'll have to go back to 2012 to Templemore again. And as you just, you reminded me that Pat Burke, I asked you who got him. And I realized then that I was there at the devastation. I think there was four or five goals was hit in the first 7 or 8 minutes, maybe a little bit more, to absolutely wipe that game. Sarah's ended up with seven goals. And, you know, so the history of it would point to Sarsfield usually getting more, outpinting Lochmore and Lochmore getting the goals. It's hard to see. If you look at it now, with Dennis Maher, the way he's playing, the way the team is figuring, that you would see Sarsfield's getting the more goals. And while you can plan probably to negate Dennis Maher, you can't do it for 60 minutes, but have Lochmore got that at the other side? Because we suppose we'll go to, is Noel McGrath going to be available?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that would free John in more, you know, because like John, as you said there, was probably trying to be around half hour line midfield, setting up attacks that Noel may be doing his end. Is there any word on Noel? Will he be available, or just until the day we won't know? Is that kind of the way it is?
We don't know. And look, we're not going to speculate one way or the other, because I suppose you could be accused of giving motivation or to one or the other.
Exactly, yeah.
At the end of the day, we just don't know, you know. It's definitely has to be something that is discussed, because it doesn't allow John to drop that deep, you know. It doesn't allow John to be used as the forward. Now, I know he does be in and out, but who's, that's not to say that Loughmore haven't players to deliver that ball in. As we mentioned, John Maher has that ability. Brian McGrath, you know, I know Kieran Connolly is getting, he'll be glad of that extra game there last Sunday and the extra week to get a bit more, get a bit match sharper and a bit more fitter. But I go back to back to 2012 again, and I just before we came on to the call here, I just had a look at the programme. Like, you had 9 Loughmore lads in the starting 15 that played in 2012 on that day, and you had 5 Sarsfields. And, you know, Sarsfields even have younger lads again coming in. Dara Staclum, Owen Purcell, Paddy Creedon, Shawnee Butler. Shawnee Butler was very impressive last Sunday. When the game kind of was getting close and, you know, forwards kind of gone quite, Shawnee popped up in various positions in the field. You know, he wasn't, he was playing, I think, was he playing left wing forward?
Left wing, yeah.
Yeah, he was named a 10, but he was playing left wing. But he's pints. He scored one over in the right kind of corner in the 21 that was hard fought and he found space. You know, he took one free, but he's definitely added something to him. And fair play to Shawnee. Like, he's been with the second team for a long time there, and his hard work is paying off. And yet, his points from play were vital for the Sarsfields. So he'll be a new face to contend with for the Loughmore lads, because they mightn't have come across him a whole lot up along. But Dara Staclum, what can be said? He's young. He's a young head, but he's got a cool head. Young, cool head, like, you know.
Exactly, And as I said, they're like more of 9 at teams than there. Sarsfields have a lot of youth kind of draft in this year now and are giving them a go. And, you know, hopefully come good. But the thing with Loughmore is that experience they have is always key. You know, that's vital for him over the years. That's one thing I've known.
Yeah. Like, the final days are about just keeping that cool. Like, can you perform within 85% of your ability on a final day? And you very rarely you'll be beaten. Like, the odd cracker where both teams are really at it. It is about holding the nerve and taking the scores when they come, not biting to the pressure or responding to the niggling, you know, keeping away silly frees or slight vantage to your opponents, your man on man, winning your battle. It'll be an exciting game, because it's another step that teams will want. You know, who wouldn't want to already be qualified for the latter stages of Dan Breen?
Oh yeah, you know, dead right. Yeah, it's a kind of a backdoor. If something does fail or doesn't go right in the group, you know, it is something to fall back on for sure. And it's a title at the end of the day as well there as well for a cup, and bringing home a cup is not going to be thrown at either, that's for sure. Like,
mid-title, you know, Sarah's, it's this bunch of players. Every year is a new year. And to be fair, a good few of them will have been there in 2018, you know, and they'll want to, there's nothing like it in the back of the mind to drive you on to get to overcome an opponent. That's what you need, is that edge to get you going when you're feeling like there's nothing left in the legs, or to make that extra effort in that sprint, get that block down. That's what you want to drive you on, that determination. Look, hopefully Loughmore can be at their full complement. And I know Sarsfields, I didn't see anybody come off injured. I don't know, would their lineup be very similar on final day? I'd be surprised if it wasn't. Maybe Paddy Creedon might come in. I don't know. I know that two corner forwards played, Owen Purcell played well as well. He got his couple of scores. Would you have any other insight into that, Sean?
I'd say it'd be a similar team, bar maybe, as you say, Paddy Creedon could be there, but there's no one that's kind of wasn't available that will be available kind of way. You know, anyone that's injured is still carrying a few knocks on it.
I think just because I can't not say it, like Sarsfield, 11 scorers did they had to had in the field of play, you know, from all scored from play. He had managed to tack on his point from play as well as his frees. And we've said all this without mentioning Parig and Roland and Mayer, you know, the scores that Dubai's got. One, the ball just launched down, Roland, one hand, touched it down. Auntie's hurl, hand pass, switched hands, hand passed out, Parig over the bear. You know, it's just
You know, they were different levels, and it's aren't they? And you see them on the field, how easy it is when you're up close and in front of me. You know the county lads in both teams, same with John McGrath there from Loughborough. You know he has that bit of class as well, for sure.
Yeah, and all the conditions, like, it was just something that was across my mind when I noticed Luke Shannon going in, and I was thinking, Jesus, this is a great one to get under the belt anyway. Like I said, it's probably 2019, Luke would have been in the terrace and shouting and going, yeah, look at this. This is a leader. And now all of a sudden, oh my God, this lad is breathing down the back of my neck. Yeah. And, you know, that has, no matter how hard you train or whatever, for young players, a great experience, no doubt. And it's one he can kindly put away now and get on to it the next day and maybe give him a bit more of a run around. And great ability in Luke Shannon and Upper Church. There's a lot of mid-teams playing each other in the county championships, unfortunately. We want a fair to travel, but look, Upper Church will definitely be picking away and looking to move forward. But look, building to a great mid-final on Sunday.
Are tickets on sale for Morgan yet, or are they going up at the moment?
Tickets are on sale.
Very good.
They'll be, like, I know both semi-finals were well attended. We would be counting, I'd say, you know, the full quota was met, and there'll be a big dive for tickets now. I'd say they won't have too many problems getting help out in the Holy Cross for that match.
There'll be loads of high-vis jackets around for sure. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's this Sunday, the senior final, the half 12 in Holy Cross. We also have the intermediate final this week as well. On Saturday, half 6, we have Mine against Borland there. Mine are always at that level of intermediate. They're always one of the main lads in the county. How do you feel this to go, Morgan?
Yeah, look, sure. Mine Temple Tui have been banging away and so close. You know, if there's anybody that has more experience getting to the latter stages, or as much experience as Mine Temple Tui getting to the latter stages, they should be happy enough, you know, because that's where you want to be. Now, getting over the line, as we say about the final days, it's performing, handling the occasion. Yeah. Mid-final, they're mid-champions from 2019. It is a replay with Borland Douala of the county semi-final last year. And I know Mine Temple Tui will want to lay down the marker. It is their first out in the championship. It's probably the only caveat there. And look, Borland overcame Drum. Not probably Drum at their strongest, but they had to do the job. Yeah. They too were missing players. I know there's, you know, Mine Temple Tui aren't at their full complement either, but it's a hard one to call in terms of, you know, it's easy to discuss the senior final when you've seen teams have two games under their belt and you've seen them up hand. It's a hard one to call now in the intermediate. Borland Douala have a very young core to their team, and it's something that I know from speaking to them that has raised the standards, that they have young lads that are after coming through that have won county titles, and they aren't carrying any baggage in terms of relegation. You know, there was a double relegation. You know, that's not easy. You can't just park that away. That comes into your head when you're in 10 minutes into games. You know, that kind of, here we go again. But these young lads that are coming through, despite the team, they don't have that. And they'll certainly, I'd say, they won't be overly worried about the semi-final last year. They'll, in fact, use it as a motivation. You know, whereas if they would have been part of two relegations and they were facing Mine, well, maybe then it would have a big influence. But the Borland Douala lads will be geeing up for this. It's a final. You know, they'll be beating the underdog Drum and saying to the guys, oh, don't worry. Well, we go out and perform. It's up to them to go out and win it. And, you know, that's what would be the right thing to do.
Exactly, yeah. And like Borland have, they kind of, as you said, relegation over the years, but they fought back with younger lads. They're going out without fear. And even the run they had previous years, this kind of grade, they're showing that they're entitled to be there. And but for them, they want to go back up senior, like with Mine as well. So it's going to be a tightly contested game. On the Mine side, like the Conor Bow there, like he's our main man to go to for them, isn't he, for sure?
Yeah, the two boys there, Conor Bowen, Gerard O'Connor, like, any club would be fortunate to have one of them, but to have the two of them come through at the same age, like, and the two guys have been pushing each other, you know, raising the standards within the club. And I know, because we would have been a combo with the lads at underage level. And so I've seen firsthand what way the boys go about and how they operate. And, you know, it's not from the want or the love of the game. And they want nothing more than to bring their parishes back to the top table. And it's only a small thing. Like, they have the teams they've been competing with over the last few years, they've all gone on. Somebody's gone on to do it. And look, it's probably one of the most entertaining grades entertaining even grades.
Yeah, it is, because every year you could never call it last four or five. There's always a team that comes in, and, like, you know, and anyone that gets up there deserves it. You know, it's a hard grade to win in Tipperary.
Yeah, like I suppose Sarsfields, they knocked on the door. Kildangan kind of came out of nowhere. I went through, and well, to me that must be kind of galling to teams that are there, or, you know, motivating to them to go, here, look, these, like, Kildangan coming through and going on to finally make that step up to senior ranks, because look, it's not easy. I don't want to say it is harder to get out of the senior ranks, but it certainly is very hard to get up there.
Yeah,
you know, it's a tough ask. But both teams, if they can get this win, whichever team gets this win, you know, it's a short time frame. Momentum and a winning mentality could take you all the way, because that's what it'll be about. The short time frame, we'll look at the bigger picture, the county championship, and we'll say using the mid-final as that stepping stone or that bit of glue, you know, to help you, bring you together and drive you on. You know, so, yeah, another exciting prospect there in Littleton on Saturday evening at 6:30.
Very good. And as tickets are on sale for that as well, the same thing, ticket event as well.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, look, it's something that will more than likely stay on, you know. Yeah. I know the mid-board have went out and bought scanners and the likes of this. And sure, look, is the way things are going, you know. It'll probably stay on. So tickets, I'd say, they haven't changed. So it's 100, 200, is it?
200, yeah. So, you know, it is, like I say, now even, I mean, finally, say if it's on sale at the moment, it won't be far from selling out the next couple of hours or days even, because the weekend games, when the boys went to get a ticket for the Stars match the night before, and it was sold out as well. You don't want to leave it too late, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think then as well is other divisions are on at the same time. So look, you're only going to go to your division.
Yeah.
It's not like you'll be here, so we can catch that match somewhere else. No, the tickets will be will go quickly. So it is a good advice if this is sent out in time, maybe.
Should be out now as soon as possible.
Best luck to both clubs and backroom teams. I know the backroom teams are new in both the senior teams, and I think Liam England is in with Mine Temple Tui. I know one of your own lads is abroad helping out with the Borland Dwella lads.
Oh, he is.
John Connors, if he finds time away from his other. Very busy man. The only way to get something done is ask a busy man to do it.
Exactly,
okay. Best of luck to all four clubs. And hopefully we have teams that go on and contest at our stages of the county championship and use the mid-final as a stepping stone towards that.
Perfect. Thanks, Fillmore. Great weekend in store anyway for the mid-division. And hopefully talk again soon, and we'll look back at the mid-finals then next week.
Thanks, Sean. Fair play to you on Premier View.
Okay, Michael Quinn, North Piero, joins us to have a look forward to the North Senior Hurling Final going ahead this weekend. How are you doing, Mike?
Good now, Michael. Yourself?
Not too bad. No, not too bad. So, last weekend, you had two semi-finals. Kildangan, Killaran came out on top. Were you able to see them?
Yeah, that boat from there. Kildangan and Nina played in Dala. Both games were on last Sunday, actually, the Sunday the 15th, and Killangan and Enid played in Dolla. It was a great game of hurling. It was tit for tat throughout. Both teams were up for it now, really. You could say, as they usually are when they always meet, there's a good, they're being the best of each other, really. And Killangan won on a 318 to 120 scoreline. I suppose Nina started the best team. I think they went 3 points up at the first couple of minutes. So Killangan came back into it. Goals from Sean Hayes and Joe Gallagher. Killangan really had goals in their mind at the start of the game. They're kind of trying to find the back of the net really early on. But then Nina, in fairness to him, responded well in the second quarter, the second half, and he went into the break up by a point. And then Nina continued that into the second half. They were probably the better team for the third quarter as well in the second half. But again, Killangan responded. It was kind of probably a game where, as I say, it was tit for tat. Nina could go up 2 or 3 points and then Killangan would pick him back, which happened in the second half. And then Killangan, Dan O'Mara got a goal, which was about a couple of 3 or 4 minutes to go, which was probably the winner of the game. And then Billy Seymour scored a free late on to kind of booked the win for Killangan with 4 points. Like, so they go into the final this coming Sunday. They'll take on Killawan. Killawan played Nina later that evening in Nina, and Killawan were very impressive. Now, Bursley were down JD Devaney and Ray McCormack, but Bursley have seemed to be down a number of players throughout the North campaign from each game to another, but Killawan were very impressive. And I think it was Liam Hogan said in his preview during the week in another station that they hit 14 or 15 wides Killawan could have had. So I watching the game, Killawan were wasteful, but they definitely room to, they did need, and they were still 1 by 7 points, like, they were that much on top. Like, so they'll be happy with the performance, especially going ahead into the final on Sunday now. So they 1 by 7 for a finish, like, which is a no mean feat, beating Bursley by that amount. Like.
Yeah, absolutely. Just at the Killadangan game, Killadangan had their 3 county players back who were missing against Tumi Vara. How did the county players go as a whole? Darryl, the goals, and James and the two Flynns?
Yeah, they settled in well, in fairness. Like, they were needed for Killangan on the day now. James Quigley did well now, and Jake Morris in the second half of the game particularly, and Alan Flynn was his usual self in an awful lot of ball, and Paul was a threat up front. Like, so they did well now, and it's good to have him back for Killangan's point of view going into the North Final. As I say, they'll need him all if they want to win the title on Sunday.
Yeah, and Killaran then, Niall O'Mara was hurling, I presume, for Killaran, and Jerry Cahill.
Yeah, Niall now was outstanding for Killaran. I think he got 3 or 4 points from the half back line. He was, especially in the second half, he absolutely mopped up puckouts, Bursley's puckouts. He was outstanding now. He was very good. Like, Jerry Dinn was his usual self. Jerry, particularly, I seen him against Ballinair earlier in the quarterfinals, and he was excellent at full forward. And he was kind of a bit further out of the field this time because same as Seamus Hennessy was in full forward for Killawan. And Jerry was kind of beaving around the half forward line there, and he was in an awful lot of ball also. But I suppose it's a note to Seamus Hennessy. He's a danger in full forward for Killawan. We all know the talent he has. And if the ball gets on to him around the square, and he did get a goal for Killawan in the first half, he caused trouble there in the Bursley full back line anytime the ball went in high in him. So, yeah, he's an option there as well. Another former Tipperary hurler as well. Like,
yeah, so. Absolutely. So looking ahead then to this weekend, Killawan versus Killadangan, what day does the game go ahead?
Yeah, it's going ahead Sunday the 22nd in McDonough Park in Nina with a 6:15 throw-in, and Gerard Fitzpatrick from Ross Grey will be the man in the middle refereeing.
Yeah, and have the sides met lately in North Championship?
Well, they're very familiar. It's a peculiar stat now that I've just seen there earlier on that in the last 14 years, since 2007, the clubs have played 11 of them years, so there's only 3 years they haven't played each other. So they're not only neighbours, but familiar with each other being neighbours, but they're very familiar being on the field. So tis they'll be playing each other year in, year out, but looks for now. And I suppose the most recent, I suppose going back to 2016, they met in our final, which was the 100-year anniversary of the 1916 Rising. So Clochjordan, obviously through the connections with Tomás McDonagh, Clochjordan hosted the final that year, and Killangan beat them on their home ground in 2016 by 4 points. But then 2 years later, Killawan gained revenge and they defeated Killangan in our final in 2018 in Nina. They won comfortable that day, 19 points to 12. So Kilwan were very impressive that day. So tis even on the final front over the last couple of years, like so.
Yeah, and no doubt both teams will be going hell for leather to win the North title, a very prestigious title in Tipperary. Just before we leave, Michael, Savvy Kitchen sponsored the Intermediate Hurling. Boris Kane and Moneygall meet in that final. They looked like two decent semi-finals there last weekend.
Yeah, I made it to Boris Kane against Ballinahinch. So Ballinahinch were somewhat similar to Kilwan the other day with wides, but it was more to their detriment. They lost out, they hit an awful lot of wides, especially in the second half. And I suppose Boris Kane were clinical in front of goals. And I think the likes of Liam Cleary, Conor Ryan, and Philip Austin is still a threat up front. He still has that pace for Boris Kane, so he's still very much a threat in the full forward line for Boris Kane. So there'll be fancy for chances to see Moneygall defeat Shannon Rovers there in that same evening in the other semi-finals. So, like I say, but all North sides will be gunning for to get fair in the county, but I suppose especially you could say the both finalists, Boris Kane and Moneygall, like so this is a good springboard into the North Championship. But that game now is or into the county championship, but that game has been rescheduled. That won't take place until Saturday, the 4th of September in Clochjordan. So both teams will have a round of county championship played the week before. So they don't really know where they're at going into that county final. Or into that North final, sorry.
Apologies. Yeah. Very good. Mike Quinn, North PRO, thanks for joining us on the Premier View.
Thanks, Mike.
It's a hell of a long time since Cashel Kincormick and Clonalty Rossmore met in the West Senior Hurling Championship final. And both teams will come head-to-head in Golden on this coming Saturday evening at 6 p.m. In a moment, we will hear from Cashel Kincormick's Ross Bonner, but we will first hear from Thomas Butler from Clonalty Rossmore.
Yeah, I suppose it's a novel pairing between ourselves and Cashel. We haven't met in a West final, I'd say, since probably the late 90s. Yeah, it'll be something different, anyway, definitely.
Ross Bonner is also looking forward to it. You will be the underdogs, I suppose, really going into it.
Clonalty have won as far back as I can remember, anyway. I'm only 22, so seeing them win a lot of West finals, you know, and fairness, they're a great team, so we'll be just looking forward to it. I think it's our first West final since 2005, so a lot of lads are excited. We have a young enough team, and we're all looking forward to it. So.
And let's be fair, you haven't won one since 1995. That's so long, isn't it?
Well, look, it's a long time, you know. A lot of the panel have never seen Cashel in one, never mind win one. So we're just really looking forward to it, and we'll just do our best.
Thomas, come back to your semi-final victory against John Tracy's. They give you one quite good game of it there.
Yeah, they did, and there wasn't a whole lot in it, I suppose. But like, it just shows that the West Championship is really starting to heat up now, and I think well over the next 3 or 4 years now, you'll see more and more teams emerging, I think, into the Senior Championship. And like, it's definitely going to be a lot more competitive.
From the semi-final, what can you take out of it? I suppose the main talking point was the high amount of wides.
Yeah, I suppose that's one thing, all right. I think we put up something like 26 wides, so that's the first thing to address. But it's like any game you go into, you just try and do your best, I suppose, and work as hard as you can, and hopefully that'll be enough then, you know.
And Ross, in your own semi-final, you had victory over Iroge and Anacarty out in Banshee.
Yeah, it was a tough game. I don't think the scoreline did Anacarty justice. Now, they gave it everything they had, and we were lucky enough on the day. They had a few wides, and we kind of got the breaks towards the end. We might have got a few scores when the game was gone, really, and it made it look like it was one-sided, but it was a really tough match from our point of view, anyway.
Obviously, the four additions that are coming in, they're a huge addition, obviously, to Cashel Kincormick.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, the boys, they gel really well with us to get on great, but 4 years hurlers, and they showed that last weekend in fairness to them all.
Thomas, how are you going to curtail Cashel Kincormick?
Well, sure, we just have to, I suppose, give it our best shot and be prepared and hope that, you know, that we perform as well as we can. But Cashel are bringing something different this year, and they have a lot of pace in their team as well, so that's something we have to be on guard against, you know.
And the one thing about Cashel Kincormick, down the spine of their team, they're extremely strong.
Very strong, and if obviously Ryan LeWire is back as well. I saw him playing the Crosscoe final now. I thought he contributed an awful lot to the game. You know, just being very smart and popping off balls to lads. But not only in the spine of players all over the field, so we'll have to be at our best.
As Capawhite and Golden Kilfeacle prepare for this year's Intermediate Hurling Championship final, I had a quick chat with Golden Kilfeacle's Niall Heffernan, but we will first hear from Capawhite's Garrod Ryan Bourne, and he was very happy with their semi-final victory over the Kickhams.
Yeah, look, Kickhams were going well. They went well against Cashel in the Crosscoe, and I suppose we were missing a few boys and fellas kind of wrote us off. But
what drove you on that day?
Look, last 3 years we were getting to finals and just not winning them. This year we just wanted to prove people wrong, like, and hopefully we can push it on the weekend and do the job. Training's going well, but like, I just think the boys brought it on the day and everyone came focused to the match, and that's just the way it went for us. Like, just dropped right, and just, the weather was bad in the day, but it was sloppy and the boys pulled it through.
Difficult conditions.
Yeah, very difficult. But like, once the boys got their hands on the ball, there was nothing stopping them. You know, they just tried to hold on to the sides they could and push through.
Come back to Golden Kilfeagle, Niall, it was a smash and grab against Arvel Wolves.
Oh, very much so, Stevie, yeah. We got the win there, we pulled it out of the bag. In fairness to Arvel, like, coming up from Junior A, we knew it was going to be a tough challenge, and by God, I think they were up 7 points with 15 minutes to go, like, and we had it all to do, and we just got lucky on the day, I suppose, in one way, but look, we were just delighted to get the win, and onwards now.
It was a high-scoring game.
Yeah, it was. I know Andy got a few points anyway, as always, and Arvel there with Johnny Ryan on the freeze, and they got a good spread of scores as well. Certainly a high-scoring game, which is great to see, but sure, the day allowed for it as well.
Well, I suppose on the scoring charts, it was the Andy and Johnny show.
Yeah, it definitely was. Freeze were the name of the game, I suppose, and in fairness to Johnny and Andy, they were clinical on the freeze. Once they got their chance, they took it. So look, it's a really high scoring game, and please God, Saturday as well should be a high scoring game as well.
It's a 50-50 game now at this stage?
Yeah, it's definitely a 50-50 game, and Cap are after a huge win there against Kickhams, and Kickhams were fancied for it, but I didn't see it that way. I thought competition's definitely open, but Cap White, they beat us last year, they bet us out the gate in Cashel, like, so I suppose we're going to try and put it up to them on Saturday and see how it goes.
And Garode, final word to you. Do you think that he can do it?
Sure, look, I hope so. Going on a formidable side, like, but we just hopefully we can push on and win the match. That's what we're looking for.
I wish you both the very best of luck.
Thanks,
looking ahead to the West Senior Football Championship final between Arvel Rovers and Aherlow and Lattancullen combined, I got views of Niall Fitzgerald from Arvel Rovers, but we will first hear from Seamus Grogan from the combination of Aherlow and Lattancullen. Seamus, first of all, it's going to be a game that you're really looking forward to.
It is, Stevie. We haven't been in a West final in a good few years now, and we're preparing well for it. We're minding ourselves, and hopefully come Friday evening that everyone will be ready and raring to go.
Looking at your semi-final victory, there was nothing in it. It's only just a 1-10 to 1-9.
Rockwell didn't win the county intermediate final for nothing last year, like, and they put it right up against us. And look, we didn't play to our strengths either, and hopefully we rectify the mistakes this week and be better come Friday evening.
Now, Barry was outstanding again from freeze and from open play, but obviously from freeze he's lethal, isn't he?
He is, yeah. Down through the years you could see that he's been a big help to Arlo for freeze and from open play, like, and he still got, he might have lost a yard of pace, but he still has it in abundance. So we'll be looking to him again Friday evening.
And looking at your team, there's an awful lot of youth now coming in.
There's a good few young lads after being blooded through the league this year, and they're coming along nicely. They mightn't be ready this year or next year, but they'll come eventually.
But they're learning a lot from the like of yourself, Cahill, and also from Barry as well.
Yeah, and they're giving us a bit of legs too, and they're after making a big difference to our team this year, because we're the other side of 30 now, and a bit of youth helps in a team like that.
What about Arvel Rovers now in the final?
Arvels are always a formidable opposition. They're in the 20 county finals, so they've plenty of youth too, and they have experience. Look, we're going to be right up against it, like, but we're going to give it a good shot.
Niall Fitzgerald has joined me here from Arvel Rovers. It has all the ingredients of one great final.
Oh yeah, it does, yeah. Like, we only just got over the line against Anacarty there last week, and we're going to be up against it. Arlo are going to be a similar opposition to Anacarty, so it's going to be tough again.
And looking back at your semi-final, very low scoring, 1-4 to 5.
Yeah, the conditions didn't help there either. It was hard to get the ball up through the field. Wet conditions didn't suit the scores at all. Hopefully now we'll get the weather there this weekend so we can get a more entertaining game for the spectators and that.
Defensively, Niall, you will have to be on your toes and not to give away too many frees.
Yeah, no, we see, you can see Barry's on form lately. He's after scoring a nice bit there in the semi-final and against Commercials as well the week before. So we're going to have to put a plan in place to kind of stop that ball getting into him. So yeah, as you said there, we're going to have to tighten up the defence especially.
The right ball going into your forwards is crucial, isn't it?
Oh no, definitely, like, yeah. We always like to play a running game, and it's going to be a lot harder to run the ball up through the field. Arlo are going to be a lot more physical than Aroke, so yeah, we're going to have to run the ball up the field a lot better.
Now, what do you think that you have to do to beat Arlo?
Not holding up the ball, but moving the ball fast through the hands. And when they attack, we need to be able to break them down and turn them over straight away and get up the field as quick as we can. Yeah, that's what we're going to target, really, is speed up the game for ourselves to get us over the line, really.
Can you do it?
Hopefully. we're training hard at the moment. We got Jim Mullen in and John Lillis. Jim plays a great style of football, likes to move the ball fast. We've always tried to move the ball fast down through the years, so he's after coming in and really giving us a new lease of life. So hopefully we can get over the line on Friday.
That's all for this week's show, folks. I'd like to thank Michael Quinn, Morgan Lanigan and Stevie O'Donnell for their contributions for the games this weekend. And I hope you join us next week where we'll go over the divisional finals and look ahead to the opening rounds of the county championships. Tipperary na bu.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.